Your microbiome loves fiber. Those gut bacteria eat the fiber that your own body can't digest, and then they help your body detox. Fiber contributes to the production of detoxification enzymes, and it also binds to xenobiotics. Once fiber hooks up with those chemicals, it ushers them out through your stool. Problem solved. Exception. If you're struggling with SIBO, you should not start eating more fiber. You'll have to address the SIBO first. For a list of high-fiber foods, please see the list on the enhancement. Clean up your environment. Every time you eat, drink, breathe, or touch an industrial chemical, and yes, I'm including plastics, pesticides, air fresheners, dryer sheets, herbicides, and car exhaust, you add another load to your body's burden. The more you can limit your exposure, the less detox labor your body has to do, the less glutathione you need, and the easier job your GST-GPX has. You don't want to overwork any GST-GPX, but especially not one that was born dirty and already has trouble getting the job done. Remain on the Clean Genes protocol as you filter your water, eat organic food, clean your indoor air, especially at home, and avoid toxic products. Evaluate your environment for mold. If you're struggling with lots of symptoms that won't go away even after you clean up your diet, air, water, and products, you might want to test for mold in your home, at work, in your car, and anywhere else you spend a substantial amount of time. An environmental inspector can help make this evaluation. Sweat it out. Your body detoxes in four ways: breath, pee, poop, and sweat. You're already breathing, and hopefully properly, so that takes care of that. You're already hydrating, so that takes care of the pee. You're eating lots of fiber. That takes care of the poop. Now, let's get you breaking a sweat at least two times a week. You've got lots of choices, from the energizing to the super relaxing. Sauna, Epsom salt bath, vigorous exercise, hot yoga, sex. If you go the sauna route, choose low heat so that you can stay in there longer and keep sweating. Living in a hot climate like Arizona is not going to cut it unless you get outside and sweat. Because with the GST-GPX SNP, you've got to sweat. A lot. Be aware. Know that you're sensitive to chemicals and keep avoiding them. At the same time, know that others aren't as sensitive as you, which may be why they don't follow your recommendations or believe your stories about how chemicals are affecting you. It can be tricky to convince a skeptical family or a doubting friend. But the first step is for you to believe yourself. Grow broccoli sprouts and radish sprouts. I'll warn you, the taste is quite potent, but you'll get tremendous glutathione support. It's the combination of sprout types that does it. Eating broccoli sprouts on the third day after they sprout gives maximum benefits. Just as Carrie found a lot of success cleaning up her GST, so did Megan enjoy improved health from cleaning her GST-GPX. She had already done a solid job of reducing her exposure to toxic chemicals, but with my help, she identified a few more that she had missed. What she hadn't done was support her body's detox through breath, pee, poop, and sweat. So she began focusing on breathing properly, hydrating regularly, eating more fiber, and taking twice-weekly saunas. "I can feel the toxins flowing out of my body," she told me at our second meeting. "It's the best thing, and also so relaxing." Megan also found a lot of support in living according to the Clean Genes protocol, especially getting better sleep and reducing and relieving stress. These key steps helped support her entire system, lightening the burden on all her genes and allowing her dirty GST-GPX to function at its highest capacity. Remember when I told you that a lot of Italians have a dirty MTHFR but live symptom-free, without supplements or medications? That's possible for people with a dirty GST-GPX also, as long as you're eating well, getting the right kind of exercise, enjoying deep sleep, avoiding toxins wherever possible, and reducing or relieving stress. This is the protocol I follow, and my family too. And we've seen it ease the burden on our dirty genes. Carrie and Megan found success with it as well. And I know you can too. How the Clean Genes Protocol supports your GST-GPX. Diet. You'll get a balance of fiber, sulfur, and riboflavin vitamin B2, which will support your body's stores of glutathione as well as the function of your GST and GPX. You'll eat healthy fats and cut out the processed carbs, sugars, and unhealthy fats that trigger a number of glutathione issues and burden your GPX. And you'll eat the right amount of protein rather than burdening your body and your genes with too much of it. Chemicals. Avoiding industrial chemicals will lighten the burden on both genes and your stores of glutathione. You'll be breathing, sweating, peeing, and pooping out the toxins, which will help as well. Stress. Stress relief lightens the burden on your MAOA, which in turn decreases the amount of hydrogen peroxide your body makes, thereby lightening the burden on your GPX. Identifying infections and eliminating them also significantly reduces the amount of hydrogen peroxide generated and reduces the work your GPX has to do. 10. NOS3. Heart issues. Rudy was a big man who used to work construction. He took early retirement because of some injuries and noticed that as soon as he wasn't as physically active as he used to be, his blood pressure started to creep up. Although he had suffered the occasional migraine over the years, now he was getting one once a week. Rudy had a dirty NOS3, a gene frequently associated with cardiovascular issues and migraines. Like Jamal, whom you met in Chapter 1, Rudy was especially concerned because heart disease ran in his family. His grandfather had died of a heart attack, his father had struggled with high blood pressure, and one of his uncles had died of a stroke. I assured Rudy that we could reverse this apparent genetic destiny by cleaning up his genes, especially NOS3. NOS3 is a gene central to the making of nitric oxide, a substance that keeps our blood vessels dilated. When NOS3 gets dirty, though, it doesn't make nitric oxide as efficiently as it should. As a result, your blood vessels become constricted and can't properly deliver the oxygen that's supposed to travel through your blood. "Think of it this way," I told Rudy. "Your cells need to breathe just like you do, or too many of them die. Your bloodstream carries blood and oxygen to all of your cells. So if your blood vessels are constricted, your cells don't get enough blood or oxygen, and then they can't breathe." Rudy nodded. "Okay," I continued. "Your heart uses the most oxygen of any part of your body, ounce for ounce, even when you're sitting quietly at rest. So what happens if your heart cells can't breathe? Without the oxygen they need, a lot of cells die. And if enough die, you might get angina, or maybe even a heart attack." I went on to explain that the next biggest user of oxygen by mass is your brain. If your brain cells don't get enough oxygen, they can't breathe either. If too many brain cells die, you might develop a migraine, or, in severe cases, maybe even brain damage. Bottom line, I told Rudy, right now your blood vessels aren't properly dilated, so they can't deliver enough blood, which means they can't deliver enough oxygen either. That's the situation that we have to turn around. Rudy was following me closely, but I wasn't done yet. Now, another thing that happens with low nitric oxide is that your blood platelets, the components that help blood clot in the case of emergency, get sticky. As your blood travels through your arteries, you want it to flow smoothly. If the platelets in your blood start sticking together, they can form a clot when no clot is needed. This typically is a slow, stealthy process, but that's how your uncle ended up having a stroke. Rudy was still with me, but he looked shaken. "I'm telling you what might happen if we don't clean up your genes," I reminded him.
"Don't worry, we're going to clean up your NOS3.
But there's one more thing I want you to understand. A dirty NOS3 means that you're slow to produce new blood vessels. The scientific term for that formation is angiogenesis. If you don't have healthy angiogenesis and you're wounded, say from a cut or a deep scratch, your body struggles to make the extra blood vessels that carry the nutrients and oxygen you need to repair the wound. So your wound will heal a lot more slowly. Rudy nodded again. I did get some deep cuts and scratches on the job, he said, and the doctor told me they were taking longer than usual to heal. Makes sense, I said. But remember, we can turn this all around. Now Rudy had a question. What about my high blood pressure? How is that related? When your blood vessels don't dilate properly, the blood flowing through them puts more pressure on the vessel walls, I explained. This can happen even when you're otherwise in pretty good health. It's called essential hypertension. Before you were tired, when you were more active, you were breathing in more oxygen, and that was helping to keep your blood vessels dilated, even with your dirty NOS3. Now that you're less active, your dirty NOS3 is really showing its effects. As Rudy was learning, dirty NOS3 is a terrific example of why it's important to know your dirty genes, and why it's even more important to know how to support them. Yes, if you've got a genetic propensity for cardiovascular disease, it might be life-threatening. But it doesn't have to be. The right diet, supplements, and lifestyle can make all the difference. Your NOS3 in action. As we've seen, the NOS3 gene works hard to keep your heart and your vast circulatory system healthy, which impacts all the organs served by that circulatory system. Pretty crucial stuff. Interestingly, depression is an independent risk factor that doctors use to evaluate whether you're at risk for cardiovascular disease. That's because depression is often associated with low levels of dopamine and serotonin. Dopamine, as you may recall, is the neurotransmitter that revs you up, gets you ready to meet challenges, and enables you to enjoy such thrills as a roller coaster ride or falling in love. Serotonin is the neurotransmitter that supports your optimism, calm, and self-confidence. Chemicals are a primary way that your NOS3 gene gets dirty. Although effects of chemicals on your circulatory system can't be sensed in the moment, effects on mood differences can. Next time you're exposed to chemicals of any type, see if the exposure affects your mood. If so, you're witnessing NOS3 interacting with your brain chemistry. We will explore why this happens later in this chapter. NOS3, the basics. Primary function of the NOS3 gene. The NOS3 gene influences the production of nitric oxide, which is a major factor in heart health, affecting such processes as blood flow and blood vessel formation. Effects of a dirty NOS3. With a dirty NOS3, you don't produce enough nitric oxide. As a result, your blood vessels don't dilate sufficiently, and your platelets can become sticky, which can lead to blood clots. Signs of a dirty NOS3. Common signs include angina, anxiety, cold hands and feet, depression, heart attack, erectile dysfunction, high blood pressure, migraines, mouth breathing, sinus congestion, and wounds that are slow to heal. Potential strengths of a dirty NOS3. Potential strengths include decreased blood vessel formation during cancer, which reduces the growth of cancer. Meet your dirty NOS3. You've just seen that a dirty NOS3 can lead to high blood pressure, cardiovascular issues, blood clots, and stroke, as well as depression. It can also produce complications for diabetics. Diabetes is known to cause significant difficulties in blood flow and healing. Legs are cold. Ulcers form. Toes have to be amputated. Diabetes is also known to cause loss of vision. All of these issues result from a dirty NOS3. Insufficient nitric oxide leads to a loss of blood flow. As a result, your legs, feet, and eyes can't get the nutrients and oxygen they need. Why not? Well, When you have diabetes, your blood levels of insulin are high all the time. And among other things, insulin pushes NOS3 to make nitric oxide. That's usually a good thing, and in healthy people it remains so. But diabetes dirties up your NOS3 if it wasn't already born dirty. So instead of making nitric oxide, your NOS3 makes superoxide, one of the most dangerous free radicals there is. This reactive compound causes all kinds of havoc in your body, and diabetic complications are the result. Another NOS3 danger is birth defects. During fetal development, your baby is growing rapidly and needs you to form new blood vessels to nourish his or her developing cells and tissues. If a dirty NOS3 slows down your ability to form these blood vessels, your baby's heart won't get the support it needs and he or she could develop a congenital heart defect, which, as it happens, is the most common birth defect in humans. So yes, good thing you're going to learn how to clean up your dirty NOS3 if you have one. To help determine if your NOS3 is either born dirty or acting dirty, fill out the questionnaire on the enhancement. NOS3 linkages. Let's take a closer look at some of the causes and effects of a dirty NOS3. Sinus congestion and runny nose. A congested or runny nose has been identified as a possible contributor to high blood pressure. That's because if you aren't breathing in enough oxygen, you're making your NOS3 dirty. Having a congested nose doesn't mean you should run out and get nasal spray. It means you need to identify the source of the problem and remove it. Perhaps a dirty DAO? Or a reaction to dairy products? Another type of food or environmental sensitivity? Or perhaps the culprit is a dirty NOS3? Sinus congestion can be due to low levels of nitric oxide. We don't want this minor breathing problem turning into high blood pressure. Cold hands and feet. Many of us struggle with cold hands and feet. Oh, what we'd give to warm them up naturally so we didn't have to always wear gloves or hear someone say, "Oh my, your hands are freezing." Cold extremities are a sign that your NOS3 is dirty. If your blood can't get out to your fingers and toes, it means that your blood vessels are too constricted. Cleaning your dirty NOS3 should make a big difference. Mouth breathing. Mouth breathing is a very ineffective way to oxygenate your body. And low oxygen levels lead to a very dirty NOS3. Mouth breathing happens for a number of reasons. One possibility is that sinus congestion is forcing you to breathe through your mouth. In that case, addressing your congestion should resolve the problem. Assessing your home for mold, evaluating food allergies or intolerances, and fixing your dirty DAO are other great ways to address sinus congestion. Cleaning your dirty NOS3 will also resolve some types of congestion. Yet another possibility is that your sinuses are blocked by nasal polyps, especially if you feel that airflow in your nose is uneven. Nasal polyps are commonly associated with persistent allergies, either environmental or food. They can be surgically removed, but they might come right back if the allergies aren't addressed. A deviated septum is another common reason for mouth breathing. Your doctor likely has informed you of this problem if your septum is affected. What he or she probably hasn't told you is that you should have it fixed so that you can breathe properly. Neurocranial restructuring, a technique that involves adjusting the cranial plates through the sinuses, is an effective non-surgical way to fix most deviated septum types. Other causes for mouth breathing are related to facial structure. A condition known as tongue tie is incredibly common. An anomaly in how the tongue is attached to the bottom of the mouth, it alters facial structure, which leads to mouth breathing. If your baby or young child is mouth breathing, have him or her evaluated by a lactation consultant. There are various types of tongue ties: anterior tongue ties, which are easy to spot, posterior tongue ties, which are tougher to identify, and upper or lower lip ties, which are fairly visible. If your child has an improper latch during breastfeeding, difficulty saying some words, or trouble swallowing food or pills. Tongue tie may be to blame. It's possible to correct a tongue tie, ideally at birth, but even as an adult. So check with your dentist. As was mentioned, many lactation consultants are also very knowledgeable about ties. Tongue tie can sometimes be corrected by a simple snip, but more often laser treatment is needed. The results are phenomenal. Improved breathing, easier breastfeeding, more fluid speech, easier swallowing, and a happier NOS3 gene. Pollution, smoking, and stress. Stress, smoking, and pollution can dirty up your NOS3 even if it was born clean. That's because NOS3 relies upon a compound known as BH4, which your body produces. BH4 loves things clean. If your body is stressed by or dirtied up with toxins, including nicotine and industrial chemicals, your BH4 levels will go way down. Without BH4, though, your NOS3 can't generate nitric oxide. Instead, as we saw earlier, your NOS3 produces superoxide, that dangerous free radical associated with diabetic complications. Unfortunately, it's not only diabetics who have to worry about diminished BH4. If you're lacking in BH4, you'll also end up with reduced blood flow, stickier blood platelets, and a greater risk of cardiovascular disorders, whether you're diabetic or not. NOS3 and neurological disorders. As mood disorders persist in an individual, they tend to become deeper, more entrenched. Eventually, they may even result in neurological disorders such as Parkinson's, ALS, or seizures. Just as depression is linked to cardiovascular disorders, so is it linked to disorders of the nervous system. If BH4 continues to be in short supply and leads to the production of superoxide, your brain, the director of the nervous system, becomes persistently and insidiously harmed. Please tune in and catch these signs early. NOS3 impacts for women. A dirty NOS3 is of particular concern for pregnant women and for postmenopausal women. Let's look at why. NOS3 in pregnant women. During pregnancy, women experience high levels of estrogen and nitric oxide. In fact, estrogen stimulates NOS3 to work better and to produce more nitric oxide. This additional nitric oxide is essential for forming new blood vessels, preventing blood clots, and increasing blood flow to the developing baby. If you have a dirty NOS3 during pregnancy, you're at increased risk of recurrent miscarriage, congenital birth defects, and preeclampsia. I want you to know about these risks ahead of time so that you can support your NOS3 as needed and prepare for a safe pregnancy. NOS3 in postmenopausal women. The risk of all types of heart disease, high blood pressure, blood clotting, stroke, and heart attack increases dramatically for women after menopause. That's because estrogen, as noted above, stimulates NOS3 to produce nitric oxide. When estrogen levels drop after menopause, nitric oxide production falls and cardiovascular risk increases. This is yet another incentive for keeping your estrogen balanced and at a healthy level. Stay away from statins. The class of drugs known as statins help stimulate the production of nitric oxide and support NOS3. They are among the most prescribed drugs in the United States, used by many doctors to lower cholesterol. But I'm always skeptical of relying on a drug to do something that your body is supposed to do by itself. After all, none of us is born with a statin deficiency. Furthermore, a number of serious side effects have been associated with statins. And for a complete list, please see the enhancement. Statins can also produce even scarier side effects, especially among the elderly, including memory issues, mental confusion, increased blood sugar, and type 2 diabetes. Given everything, wouldn't you rather look for natural ways to accomplish what statins are supposed to do? especially since, as research suggests, statins don't seem to work well if your NOS3 is dirty. The nitroglycerin connection. Your NOS3 is intended to give you all the nitric oxide you need. But when it doesn't function optimally, your doctor might prescribe nitroglycerin. Yes, that's the same nitroglycerin used to blow things up in movies. Used short-term as a quick fix, nitroglycerin can save someone's life. I don't like it as a long-term solution for heart issues, however, so let's take a closer look. Nitroglycerin promotes the release of nitric oxide, the compound to support blood flow. That's terrific. Now your cells are getting the oxygen and nutrients they need. But sometimes nitroglycerin fails to work. Some people never respond to it. Others develop nitroglycerin resistance. Why the variance? I bet you've already guessed it. Because of a dirty NOS3. If your NOS3 is only a little dirty and needs just a little support, nitroglycerin can help. If your NOS3 is very dirty and needs a lot of support, even a big blast of nitro won't be enough to get sufficient quantities of nitric oxide flowing. That's why smokers don't typically have success with nitroglycerin. So I'm all for nitroglycerin as a short-term solution. It's literally a lifesaver. Long-term, though, you have to clean up your NOS3 along with the rest of your genes. Meanwhile, if you're taking nitroglycerin and you start noticing that it isn't helping you as much as it used to, you need to inform your health professional. Let him or her know that your NOS3 enzyme may be uncoupling, a term I'll explain in the next section. The arginine steel. Just as many doctors rely on nitroglycerin to treat heart issues, so do many others rely on a compound known as arginine, a type of amino acid found in both animal and vegetable proteins. Arginine does support a clean NOS3, but like nitroglycerin, it doesn't necessarily work if you've got a dirty NOS3. In fact, both nitroglycerin and arginine can make your heart worse if your NOS3 is uncoupled. An uncoupled NOS3 is one that's operating with insufficient arginine and BH4. Instead of making nitric oxide, which your blood vessels can use, an uncoupled NOS3 makes superoxide, which we've seen is highly dangerous. Industrial chemicals damage BH4, but how do you end up with a shortage of arginine? Well, your body needs arginine for many purposes, not just to support your NOS3. For example, when your body is fighting an infection and is inflamed, genes directly involved in that fight need more arginine than usual. Those needy genes get it by stealing it from other genes, including NOS3. As less and less arginine is available to your NOS3, it stops making nitric oxide and makes superoxide instead. Superoxide damages BH4, so now you're low in BH4 too. And since arginine and BH4 are both low, you've got even more superoxide being made by your dirty NOS3. A dirty NOS3 just got dirtier. As if that weren't enough, certain types of bacteria in your microbiome also use a significant amount of arginine, further stealing it from your NOS3. Yet another reason to evaluate your microbiome. Now, at this point, you might be thinking, okay, fine, I'll just take an arginine supplement. Can you guess why that doesn't work? I bet you know by now. NOS3 needs both arginine and BH4. And remember, BH4 is super sensitive. It behaves the way you might if you found a bug in the food you ordered. Stops you 100% from eating it, just as the slightest bit of grime in your genes causes your BH4 to grind to a halt. So if you take arginine while your BH4 levels go down, all you're going to produce is superoxide, which is definitely going to make things worse. In fact, researchers have tried giving arginine to individuals with high blood pressure in order to increase nitric oxide. It didn't work. Researchers have also tried giving BH4 to see if they could support NOS3 and nitric oxide production. That supplementation helped some people, but others found no benefit. Here's how I look at it. If a building is on fire, you don't put in some new furniture. It's only going to get burned up along with everything else. By the same token, there's no point in taking supplemental BH4 if your blood and system are dirty. You'll just dirty up the supplemental BH4. What should you do to support NOS3? There are three things you need to do, but you have to do all three, or none of them will work. 1. Supply adequate arginine. 2. Maintain a steady supply of clean BH4. 3. Keep all your other genes clean. Now, you know I don't recommend starting out with an arginine supplement, but what if you've been taking arginine already? Perhaps it enhanced your performance in sports, reduced your headaches, and warmed your cold hands and feet, but now you're not noticing any benefit or have even found that you're worse. In that case, you might have an uncoupled NOS3. Stop taking the supplement immediately and work on cleaning up your NOS3. How your body uses arginine. Arginine supports the following essential functions: blood vessel dilation, creatine formation, infection fighting, immune tolerance, neurotransmission, penile erection, reduction in platelet stickiness. Folic acid, your foe. You've already seen how bad folic acid is for your MTHFR and your methylation cycle. Well, it's also bad for your NOS3. First, your NOS3 depends on a compound called NADPH, which folic acid also uses. So the more folic acid you consume, the more NADPH you pull away from supporting your NOS3. Second, as your level of folic acid increases, your level of BH4 decreases. Remember, folic acid is synthetic. Our body was not designed to process folic acid. We do process it, but at great cost. To see what makes NOS3 dirty, check out the list on the enhancement. NOS3 and your other dirty genes. All your genes are continually affecting one another, as we've seen. But NOS3 is particularly affected by other dirty genes. A dirty MTHFR increases homocysteine, which in turn increases the biochemical ADMA, a component of blood plasma. In turn, ADMA uncouples NOS3, leading it to produce superoxide. A dirty GST or GPX decreases glutathione's ability to remove xenobiotics and to eliminate hydrogen peroxide from your body. These harmful compounds reduce your levels of BH4, which then dirties your NOS3 and causes it to make superoxide. A dirty PEMT decreases your ability to maintain strong cell membranes, which leads to inflammation. Inflammation pulls your arginine away from NOS3, which leads to dirty NOS3 and causes it to make superoxide. A dirty slow MAOA and or a dirty COMT increases stress, which slows your methylation and raises homocysteine levels. As with a dirty MTHFR, this leads to increased ADMA, an uncoupled NOS3, and increased superoxide levels. A dirty fast MAOA may increase hydrogen peroxide levels and thus reduce your BH4. Low BH4 levels lead to NOS3 uncoupling and increased superoxide levels. Your takeaway? If any one of these genes is dirty, or several are, you can be sure your NOS3 is dirty too. NOS3 and dementia. If your methylation cycle isn't working well, you'll end up with elevated levels of homocysteine, which, as we've just seen, leads to increased levels of ADMA and then to a very dirty NOS3. High ADMA levels are found in many conditions, including dementia. Interestingly, Alzheimer's disease is one of the main disorders associated with a dirty NOS3, while the second leading cause of death for those with dementia is heart disease. It makes absolute sense. If the brain is inflamed and the methylation cycle is dysfunctional, NOS3 is going to be dirty. And a dirty NOS3 makes superoxide, which leads to cardiovascular issues. This is yet another powerful reason to follow the soap and scrub to improve your methylation cycle, and then to spot clean your NOS3. Someone with mild dementia might even be able to reverse the condition, while someone with more severe dementia could slow its progression. Health professionals need to be much better versed in how significant methylation is. It seems to have its hand in everything. Key nutrients for a healthy NOS3. You need both arginine and BH4 for your NOS3 to work properly, as we've seen. Arginine is the fuel in your tank, while BH4 is your starter. If you don't have both, your vehicle can't get going. Making BH4 is a process that requires folate, magnesium, and zinc. You can't get BH4 directly from food. You have to support your MTHFR so that your body produces BH4. Please do not take BH4 supplements unless you were born with the rare form of BH4 deficiency. Research has shown that taking BH4 has no benefit if oxidative stress is present. It absolutely does not address the underlying problem. Remaining on the Clean Genes Protocol to protect your methylation cycle and maintain adequate glutathione levels is the best way to guarantee sufficient BH4. Arginine, however, you can get from your diet. Arginine. Turkey breast, pork loin, chicken, pumpkin seeds, spirulina. Dairy products, but stick to goat's or sheep's milk. Chickpeas, lentils. Your NOS3 also needs the following nutrients to function. Calcium, cheese, milk, and other dairy, but stick to goat's and sheep's milk products. Dark leafy greens, bok choy, okra, broccoli, and green beans. Almonds. Iron, seeds from squash and pumpkin. Chicken liver, oysters, mussels, and clams. Cashews, pine nuts, hazelnuts, and almonds. Beef and lamb. White beans and lentils. Dark leafy greens. Riboflavin, vitamin B2. Liver, lamb, mushrooms, spinach, almonds, wild salmon, eggs. Finally, your NOS3 needs plenty of oxygen, which you get from breathing. Now this seems obvious. What is not obvious is that many people struggle with sleep apnea, are mouth breathers, have a chronic sinus congestion, snore, unconsciously hold their breath, or breathe in a shallow way. Breathing is an absolutely essential unconscious task that we do on average 20,000 times a day. Do it wrong, and it begins to create a significant problem. If you could implement only one change in your life to support your NOS3, I would, without hesitation, say to improve your breathing. Exercise is healthy. We all know that. But did you know that moderate exercise actually helps support your NOS3 gene by making it work more efficiently? Making the most of NOS3. Rudy was committed to cleaning up his dirty NOS3. His high blood pressure was an early sign that he needed to make some changes. To create further incentive, I let him know that the erectile dysfunction he mentioned to me was another sign that his NOS3 was dirty. The first recommendations I had for him were to reduce how much he was eating, get off his couch, move around at least a few times a day for 20 minutes each time, and switch his diet to a more gene-friendly regime instead of the standard American inflammatory diet. I knew that these three changes alone could make significant gains in restoring his dirty NOS3. I also worked with Rudy on some deep breathing exercises. I had him place his palm on his abdomen and then breathe all the way down to his belly until he could feel his stomach pushing out when he inhaled. I asked him to breathe slowly and evenly, in and out through his nose 10 times so he could feel what a huge difference it made to be fully oxygenated. I told him that throughout the day, I wanted him to check in and remind himself to breathe in this way, which would make a huge difference in cleaning up his NOS3 as well as in relieving stress. Rudy was silent for a moment after I gave him my suggestions. "You know," he said thoughtfully, "my other doctors just told me to lose weight, exercise more, and take a blood pressure medication. I seriously thought about taking the medication, but I had no interest in changing my diet or in exercising." Rudy paused for another moment. "The way you so clearly explained what's going on with my dirty NOS3, how it's linked to blood pressure, how it can lead to erectile dysfunction, makes me actually look forward to making some changes," he said. "It's not just go lose weight or go exercise. Now I know why I need to do these things. I guess it gives me a sense of clarity and purpose. Now that I know how these changes will clean up my NOS3, they don't feel like a hassle. It feels like I have the opportunity to make myself better. And nobody ever told me about the breathing." I was excited for Rudy. He was on his way, and he wouldn't need me harping on him about what he needed to do or stop doing. He'd gotten the message. "A prescription lasts until your refills are expired. Education lasts an eternity." Here are some other key things I let Rudy know about. Steps that you can take too, even before you begin your soak and scrub. Consume foods rich in natural arginine. Consume some foods that contain natural nitrates, which also support nitric oxide production. For example, arugula, bacon, beets, celery, and spinach. Keep building awareness of your breathing. You should be breathing at a nice, even pace, neither too fast nor too slow, and not erratically. You should also be breathing from your abdomen in deep, full breaths, rather than taking shallow breaths from your chest. Are you holding your breath at times? Do you snore? Consider breathing classes. For example, in either the pranayama or the buteyko breathing technique. Or try some yoga or tai chi. If heart disease runs in your family, or if your doctor has said it's a concern for you, improving your breathing is probably the best thing you could do to turn things around. How the Clean Genes Protocol supports your NOS3. Diet. We'll make sure you get the right balance of nitrates and arginine, as well as all the other nutrients you need to support your NOS3. Eating healthy foods rather than inflammatory ones is a must. Otherwise, you run the risk of running through all your available BH4. Avoid all foods and drinks that contain folic acid. Chemicals. By reducing your chemical exposure, you'll keep your BH4 levels high. You also ensure healthy glutathione levels so that you can keep your methylation cycle happy. And remember, a happy methylation cycle is a happy NOS3. Stress. Stress neurotransmitters increase the demands on your glutathione and methylation, as we've seen repeatedly. Both glutathione and methylation are needed to support your NOS3. Increased stress also increases your susceptibility to infections, which use up a ton of arginine and glutathione. That competition for needed biochemicals further reduces the amounts available for your NOS3, making it dirty. Most important, a common consequence of stress is rapid and shallow breathing. Insufficient oxygen is the fastest way to dirty your NOS3, and proper breathing is the fastest way to clean it up. In the Clean Genes Protocol, I'll help you practice breathing. 11. PEMT, Cell Membrane and Liver Problems. Marisol was a tall, elegant woman in her late 50s. She had been in menopause for about 3 years, and she was frustrated by the symptoms she had begun to develop. "My triglycerides are very high," she told me. "My muscles ache, and so do my joints. I feel weak. I can barely lift a heavy pot up from the bottom shelf in the kitchen. And I've started to feel confused and foggy, as though I can barely concentrate. I forget things all the time. It's very frustrating. I had an idea what Marisol's problem might be, but I wanted to know more. What happens when you eat fatty foods? I asked her. She stared at me. How did you know to ask that? They don't sit right with me at all. I can feel the heaviness. Right here. She placed a hand below her right rib cage. And Marisol, I said, tell me a little about your diet. How often do you eat meat, liver, eggs, or fish? Marisol shook her head. Hardly ever, she told me. I'm not a vegetarian, but I mainly eat rice and beans or lentils for my protein, with maybe a little yogurt or cheese. Not much meat. Marisol, I told her, it sounds as though you might have a dirty PEMT. That's the gene that makes phosphatidylcholine, a key ingredient of our cell membranes. But in order to make phosphatidylcholine, your body needs lots of choline, which you can get from meat, liver, and eggs. There are some vegetable sources, but you may not be getting enough choline from the diet you've described. Marisol looked surprised. I thought too much meat wasn't good for you. Too much isn't, I said. Some meat is good, or some fish and eggs. At the very least, you have to make sure you get enough vegetable sources of choline. But I've always eaten this way, Marisol said. Why would I have problems now? I explained that for many women, estrogen stimulates PEMT to serve as a backup, synthesizing phosphatidylcholine even when they're not eating enough choline. Before menopause, estrogen levels are higher and can often help compensate for a dietary shortage. During menopause, though, estrogen levels drop. This means that the PEMT gene doesn't function as well as it used to. All right, Marisol said slowly, but what does that have to do with fatty foods? I told Marisol that a dirty PEMT is related to a syndrome called fatty liver. If you have that condition, your liver doesn't function well, partly because your PEMT isn't moving triglycerides out of your liver. A dirty PEMT can also contribute to muscle weakness and aches and pains, as well as brain fog. All these problems seem so separate, Marisol said finally. I don't understand how they're all caused by the same thing. I sympathized with Marisol's confusion. PEMT is a complicated gene with a wide variety of functions. A dirty PEMT works in subtle ways, too. You have to look at a number of different processes in your body to get the full picture. So let's get started, because PEMT is one of your most important genes, and supporting it can make a huge difference to your health. Your PEMT in action. Your PEMT is responsible for a number of tasks. By far, its most important job is producing phosphatidylcholine. So let's start there. Your cell membranes depend upon phosphatidylcholine, and those membranes are everywhere, surrounding every one of the 37.2 trillion cells that make up your amazing body. Each day, in an adult, over 220 billion cells die and have to be replaced. Every second, over 2.5 million red blood cells die and need to be replaced. PEMT is constantly helping to repair and regenerate the vast compilation of cells that is you, quietly behind the scenes. Phosphatidylcholine keeps your cell membranes fluid and healthy, allowing them to function at their optimal level. If they become stiff, unhealthy, and non-functional, they can't move nutrients into your cells or transport harmful compounds out. Compare a cell membrane to the outer walls of your home. You have doors and windows that open and shut. They lock tight to protect your belongings and your family. But the windows also open to let in fresh air while keeping out birds, flies, and mosquitoes. And your doors slide or swing open, with maybe even a specialized cat door so that the family pet can go in and out without bugging you. All of these doors and windows keep the warm air inside, conserving energy and ensuring a comfortable temperature. Now imagine if your home had all its doors and windows removed. Your pets could come and go as they pleased, and so could your kids. Strangers could enter your home and take your belongings. Mice could invade your cupboards, leaving behind little black, smelly gifts. Your furnace would be working harder than ever to heat your home. But with all the doors and windows open, it would use up way too much energy for way too little result, and a very expensive bill. Now apply that image to your cell membranes, which you can think of as the walls of your house. Your external cell walls protect your nucleus, which contains your DNA. Your internal walls surround and protect your mitochondria, the powerhouses that produce your body's energy source. How can a cracked or a leaky cell membrane protect your DNA? It can't. Think of all the environmental chemicals and infectious agents that will inevitably get in. And what will happen to your mitochondria without a healthy cell membrane? How could your mitochondria efficiently produce the energy each cell needs if their cell membranes are unhealthy? They can't. In fact, without a membrane, your cell is dead. You can remove the nucleus from a cell and it will continue to live for a while. Remove the membrane and the cell dies quickly. We are an amazing collection of trillions of cells working in harmony. If you don't support your cell membranes, they can't support you. How do we keep those membranes healthy? Obviously, you want to eat health-promoting food and perhaps take some supplements as needed. But that's only the first step. You also have to digest the food and absorb its nutrients into your blood. You might be having trouble with this process without knowing it, due to taking antacids, eating processed foods, being stressed out, overeating, or drinking too much liquid during meals. Ideally, though, your digestion is good, and the nutrients from your food and supplements are transported in your blood until they bind to a receptor, or move inside your cells using protein channels. These receptors and protein channels are the doors and windows embedded inside each cell membrane. Now you see why we want those membranes to be as healthy as they can possibly be. Just as you want the walls and doors and windows of your house to function well. Without healthy cell membranes, some nutrients won't make it into the cells that need them, and you'll become functionally deficient in those nutrients, even if there are high levels of them in your blood. And without a high-functioning PEMT, you won't have healthy membranes. PEMT, the basics. Primary function of the PEMT gene. PEMT, with the help of your methylation cycle, helps your body produce phosphatidylcholine, a key biochemical that you need for several important roles. Phosphatidylcholine is the primary component of your cell membranes. Without enough of it, your cells are unable to properly absorb nutrients. You can develop malnutrition even if you're eating a healthy diet. In fact, even if you're overweight. You need extra phosphatidylcholine during pregnancy and breastfeeding. Children who are still growing also need extra phosphatidylcholine. Basically, whenever your body is making a lot of new cells, you need a lot of this vital substance. Phosphatidylcholine helps your bile flow smoothly out of your gallbladder to aid in digestion, thus keeping bacteria out of your small intestine. Phosphatidylcholine also helps package and move triglycerides, a type of fat, out of your liver. Without enough phosphatidylcholine, you can develop a condition known as fatty liver. In addition, phosphatidylcholine is essential for nerve function, muscle movement, and brain development. PEMT also helps produce choline when you don't get enough of it from your diet. You need choline for a number of tasks. To support liver function, nerve function, muscle movement, energy levels, and metabolism. To make acetylcholine, a brain neurotransmitter important for learning and concentration. As a backup pathway for the methylation cycle when you don't have enough methylfolate, methylated vitamin B9, or methylcobalamin, methylated B12. Effects of a dirty PEMT. With a dirty PEMT, you're unable to produce sufficient phosphatidylcholine. As a result, your cell membranes lose their integrity, and the numerous bodily functions that depend upon phosphatidylcholine can't proceed smoothly. Signs of a dirty PEMT. Common signs include fatigue, fatty liver, gallbladder disorders, inflammation, muscle pain, malnourishment due to nutrients not being fully absorbed by damaged cell membranes, pregnancy complications, SIBO, elevated triglycerides, and muscle weakness. Potential strengths of a dirty PEMT. With a dirty PEMT, you're better able to conserve choline to help with attention and focus. You also tend to have a better response to chemotherapy. Meet your dirty PEMT. Your PEMT is the unsung hero of your genetic profile. Its work is vital to your well-being and health. But describing what your PEMT does is complicated, and it's even harder to explain how a dirty PEMT is connected to all the ways your body can go wrong. To help determine if your PEMT is dirty, take this time to fill out the questionnaire on the enhancement. The life and death of a cell. The whole time you're supporting your cell membranes, millions of your cells are dying. That's natural and healthy. You want a certain number of cells to die every day, every minute in fact, so that they can be replaced with brand new cells. The cells of your gut wall, for example, are all entirely replaced within less than a week. Every week of your life, the old ones die while new ones replace them. Your red blood cells live for about 4 months, your white blood cells for 20 days. Within about 2 or 3 weeks, all of your skin cells have died off and been replaced by new ones. It's the circle of life at its most basic level. The process of a cell dying and being sloughed out of your body is called apoptosis, and as you can see, it's a good thing. The problem comes when too many cells are dying in relation to the new ones being born. Infection, inflammation, junk food, overexercise, and lack of nutrients all lead to apoptosis above and beyond the healthy balance that we're looking for. When our body takes a hit, an infection, a stressful week, a few nights without enough sleep, our cells are damaged. We need to be able to repair them very quickly, or we'll start to have symptoms. Suppose you keep eating a food to which you have a sensitivity, or maybe you've developed some yeast overgrowth in your small intestine. As a result, your gut wall suffers some significant cell membrane damage, and apoptosis sets in. You need your small intestine cells to grow back healthy, but for that, they need phosphatidylcholine. Otherwise, your small intestine won't function well, you won't absorb nutrients, and you're likely to develop all the food sensitivities and related symptoms that go with leaky gut. By the way, you don't want apoptosis happening too slowly either. That could be a cause of cancer or allow cancerous cells to flourish. As with most things in the body, you want apoptosis to go neither too fast nor too slow, but just right. PEMT and muscle pain. What if the cell membranes that are functioning poorly are those of your muscle cells? In fact, muscle cell membranes are quite fragile, and when they fail, that decline triggers inflammation. You start to get sore muscles for no apparent reason. Prolonged phosphatidylcholine deficiency increases the severity of muscle cell membrane failure. In time, your muscles become not only painful, but weaker. As you saw, that was one of Marisol's symptoms. Her dirty PEMT was failing to produce all the phosphatidylcholine she needed. As a result, she had aches, pains, and muscle weakness. For a list of health conditions related to a dirty PEMT, please check out the enhancement. Key nutrients for a healthy PEMT. Your PEMT makes from 15 to 30% of your phosphatidylcholine, and in a pinch, it can supply more. But that's when it starts to stagger under the burden of its job. To avoid that dirty situation, you need a good supply of dietary choline so that other genes can use it to make phosphatidylcholine. Choline, liver, eggs, fish, chicken, red meat. As you can see, getting dietary choline is tough for vegetarians and vegans. It's also tough for carbotarians. People who feast solely or primarily on carbohydrates.